Hi again. For those who are joining, welcome. We want to do the second presentation, which is about Resilience Academy as a sustainable solution for urban resilience skills development in Tanzania. My name is Msirikale Msilanga. I work at the World Bank in Tanzania, but also now join the team of University of Turku to implement this project. It's a pilot project that has been done now in Tanzania, but it's just a continuation of previous projects that has been ongoing as a way to sustain the project. So if I just, in actual background, is that Africa is really urbanizing very fast. Because of this, there's a lot of increased informal settlements. And study shows that by 2025, the among all the population that will be living in urbanized cities in Africa, most of them are young people. They're the one who lives in this informal settlement. Therefore, they're in risk from different disasters. So just take you to Dar es Salaam. Dar es Salaam is the city that I'm from. It's one of the case studies that we've been working in the past 6 years. Dar es Salaam, is also one of the cities that is growing very fast in Africa. And there's more than 80% unplanned settlement. And because of this, also, the infrastructure gap is really big. That is, the city is growing fast, but the development of infrastructure is very slow. So it doesn't match with how the city grows. So there's a lot of increased problems, and one of them is flooding. Then every year when it rains, people get affected with floods. So we've been working on this as the way of new thinking. How do we use this situation to solve the problem? And so what Resilience Academy project, what we are doing is try to rethink the approaches that is usually being done for the normal university, for example, and other stakeholders using the you know, if you teach the young students or young people right now the right tools and the right knowledge, they are able to make changes when they are decision maker. So Resilience Academies try to institutionalize that to the university, but also understand the tools and knowledge, open source tools and knowledge that are available, and then being implemented. So that's the approach to be used right now. It's the one that need to be evaluated and thoughtful well. But also the other thing that we need to think is how these trainings and these new approaches on the way you teach open source tools can go into the bringing impact to the community. So in the with this project, what we're trying to do is to learn how these tools can involve students, but also involve the community, local community themselves, but also working on the issues available rather than doing some imaginary issues at the universities to solve issues that are not available, but just how to match between the issues available and the solutions from the university. So you're therefore empowering the university and the university as an institution, but also you are able to help by providing solution and bring impact on the ground. Also, due to the increased number of tools available in the open source community, through the Resilience Academy, we are learning about how these tools really are current and they are able to deliver. One of the issues that we figured out is that there was no data available of the city. Because the city is growing very fast. And because of this, there's no information available. So how do you use these simple tools? Very easy, very simple and open that to collect a lot of information. For example, yeah, everybody has the mobile phone. How do you use mobile phone as a way to sustain and make data collection working into this informal settlement, therefore to provide information and as well as to make decisions, really use the data in deciding. So through this process, we've really think on the local community themselves, because the local community have knowledge and they know what's really happening on the ground. So how do you get this knowledge from the local community themselves and streamline that to the university and people who are doing researches and studies and use these source tools to work together to make good decision making? So the involvement of the community, local community themselves, is kind of a way that if we think of how to use it and involve them, it will be a way to get better decision making. The other thing that also Resilience Academy is trying to do is how do we tell other community, like how do we make the impact and tell other local communities to understand things that have been done, because most of the time this kind of project comes and then you do a project and then you leave, and therefore the community, they just do the project. When the project is finished, no one get really to use what has been done. So how do we use this way to make the community really use these maps or tools that has been developed for decision making? So Resilience Academy is right now working with 4 universities in Tanzania, but coordinated with the University of Turku as a way to share experiences, but also within the university to create a network where these tools can be really implemented from the university side and be institutionalized. Understanding that, for example, the university ways of teaching really, it takes longer to adapt to what's coming on the tech side, for example. So how do you know the university change their curriculum or ways they teach using the current tools to solve the current solutions? So we're working with these 4 universities by doing 3 things. One is to develop the training materials, and we are going to be doing this online and also the university, learning from these experiences that we have had and the tools that have been done to be able to incorporate that within the university, but also share with others who could use the same learning material or the same experiences to also learn. We are also doing open access geospatial data, understanding that a lot has been done already, a lot of data have been collected, Okay, we know that data has been collected, but really everybody's collecting data. How do we harmonize the data that's been collected into one place so that as Resilience Academy, the university can access it, but also the decision maker can access it and sustain that through every year when, for example, a PhD student have done his master's and then share the same data somewhere in the database and then keep that updating and learning to help updating, but also sustain the way we do things. And the other thing that we are doing is we are doing the industrial training program. And this is every year we're taking students to these 4 universities at the moment. And we, teach them, as I mentioned, the current tools, and we do some data collection. They do practical works or learning as an industrial training so that they are, they have this employability, like they learn something that they could use in the real world after they have done their university. As I've mentioned, this is just to go details of what we're doing. This is the developing training material part, where through the first 4 universities that we're working on, we are now partnering with other universities that are now joining. We have the University of Twente and Delft University that are also joining the team right now, just to try to share experiences and share tools for the university to learn and also change the way they teach. And also, this is to explain more in details on the climate risk database that we've done. Just up to now, we have already collected a lot of information in the database that you could already see what have been done. And this can create stories of different analysis, different tools, and different, for example, issues. And you know, like if one organization have used, I don't know, two types of data to do a certain analysis using a certain tools, they can learn through this, and then therefore it's just replicable process instead of everybody come to new to do new things. So this is also one of the things that we are doing. And the last thing that what we are doing is as we speak right now, we have 150 students trained doing the industrial training, and we're training these tools, QGIS, you know, like mobile phones and other tools, open source tools that are available, and they're doing data collection while they're doing that as industrial training. As I mentioned, this is the pilot project, but we'll see how it goes, but the plan is to extend into other cities so that they also have the same experience or learn through this. Thank you so much. Any question?
For the future, because this is a pilot project, you say, so you're training now only university students, and now I was thinking about the future. How can we access lower educated people? And you say everyone has a mobile phone. Wouldn't it be very cool if everyone just have OpenStreetMap thing on their phone that they can just map and add data from their own neighborhood with an easy, low-level way?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So this is, as I mentioned, this is the process, right? So we think that when you want to educate the community, first of all, we start with young people. And this is why we've gone for the university. And while we are doing this, we are also doing also participation, a lot of participation where the local community are also being trained how to use mobile phone. But it starts from the young people, who then are going back to the community and explain how this has been done, and the community really get to know this thing as part of their initiative. Through that way, then we do a lot of participation with the community. Then we educate the whole community in general. But as of now, we are doing this through all these three components. When we do the industrial training, we usually go to the community, and the community get to know what's been done. They participate. Last 5 years, we've been doing the same, and we've managed to collect a lot of information. More than 3,000 local community have been trained and participate into this. So it's a process, and hoping that it can, you know, sustain itself through, you know, the university students who are doing this, or when they're doing PhD or studies or researches, then it's easy for them to use the same methodology and use the community to generate this type of information. Any other question? You had a question.
Just a quick question. You said the courses are online. So is it like MOOCs, like massive online courses? And so people can also access these courses even by, if they're not part of the university. That's quite interesting.
Yeah, so in the course line, we are still in the university. So, you know, this process of, you know, curriculum and analyzing and learning and develop some training material and modules. But the aim is to go to the MOOCs. To develop some online course that everybody, not only the student can access it, but also the non-student can also access it. But sure.
Yeah, related to your question, the lady's question, what about education at school level? Is that what you were implying? Secondary school. You answered about the community, but community, yeah. Yeah. But what about secondary school? Like, is GIS in the syllabus? Can you take GIS into the classroom at high school? And is it happening in Tanzania?
Okay, so that's a good question. I think I don't have a right answer for this now, but I think it's very good part to start thinking about it. I know that secondary school have been learning about geography, right? General geography. But so, yeah, the question is, how do we bring this? I know it's another really long road to go through. If we want to go to that, you know, to start to talk, to have this discussion with the, you know, curriculum, etc. But it's really, yeah. If it would have been nice to have this from to start to impress them from secondary school level. Therefore, when they are in secondary, they are at the university, then they are able to. Yeah, but it's a nice comment and idea. Someone had a question here.
More than a question is a commentary. I don't know if you ever heard about youth mappers. Okay, because it is nice to see that project, and with youth mappers, with that network, you can, you know, maybe find support for that project. Yeah.
Yeah. This project, Resilience Academy, is a continuation of many projects that have been done. Youth Mapper is part of this project. We have Humanitarian Apprenticeship Map that have been doing this project. The Resilience Academy is really to try to learn all that experiences that has been done by Youth Mappers, by OpenStreetMap and other organizations. They have done a lot of data collections. So if we just live like this, then everything ends. So this is trying to really to institutionalize and to learn that experience from all the initiative that has been done, but to try to, you know, bring back formally through the university, but also, you know, how do you use that to go to the policy, whatever. So it's kind of a way to sustain the way we do. Yeah, so Ramani Huria, yeah, I didn't want, yeah, that's a good idea. Ramani Huria is this one of the project that was done. Ramani Huria means local maps. So what we've been doing Ramani Huria since 2015 is this industrial training part where we did an MOU with the university, and every semester, no, every end of the year, a student is supposed to do industrial training, right? But previously, students were just going randomly looking for industrial training to do. So this Ramani Huria was to take these students and then give them this knowledge, different type of knowledges, you know, the data management knowledge, mapping, data correction, open source tool, etc. And through this Ramani Huria, they were doing that, but also, you know, community was part of it. So the students were being trained, then go to the community. They teach the community how these things are done, and then the community do some data collection. We have done a lot of testing and you know, doing some data collection through this project, and it was really a successful project. So this is how we're trying to learn through the Resilience Academy. How do we proceed that through the channel of the university? Any last question? Yeah, because of Ramani Huria, exactly. Yeah, we have one. I think this last one. Oh.
Yeah, thank you very much. I know you mentioned that how you try to make the communities use the maps and the data you produce. I'm just wondering how best you do that, because most of the times maps are produced, but they are mainly used by institutions or organizations. But how do you make that local, low-level people use these maps and data?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So in Tanzania, if a local community want to move to a new place or a new barrio or a new neighborhood, they have to report to a ward level or a sub-ward level that I'm now moving to this area. And they have to report every time. So this could be, okay, so this is a, you know, changing the attitude in the way people start to use. Previously, community do not know about maps and do not demand about map. But, you know, it's the question of how do we, through these ways, how do you use this method as the way to sustain? And we have some number of cases where when the community is moving to an area and we have big maps on each subward office now, then the leader is really looking into, okay, so where are you going to stay? Oh, this area. This area, it's flat. Just be in mind and try to have this conversation going from the local level to try to change really the way people think. And yeah, I understand that there's issues where during, for example, summer where there's no rain, people move a lot to the informal sector because they don't know. And then during rain season, they get affected. But so how do you have this conversation all through the year when you have the maps and knowledges from the local level, but also some of the community who participate then keep saying to other community members so they understand what's going in the community? Any last question we have? Good. Thank you so much.